state was having difficulty in attracting onshore processors. The only thing I can say that, and this is more of a general feeling than it would be by necessarily statistics, that this legislation has been successful, certainly beyond anything that I testified to, but far more than I anticipated it would be. It has been the catalyst in a number of cases. Two that I'm personally aware of, and undoubtedly there are more, where the onshore development would not have taken place if it had not been for the tax credit. In some cases, they were waiting for the tax credit to see if it took place. In other cases, I don't think the decision was made before or they were waiting, but there was a decision, corporate decision, as to whether they were going to build a floater or whether they were going to come on shore. And the decision, because of this tax credit, was that they would come on shore or that they would upgrade an existing operation substantially rather than putting that same amount of money into a floater. Now, the reason I say it's been successful is looking at the short term. Certainly, I can't show you that this has been of a benefit to the state because the state has been giving a tax credit. But in the long term, Mayor Fuse alluded to it, that the municipality was more than willing, if they were able to give their 25% credit because they would, in their view, soon get their money back after the tax credit was over with, and they would have an onshore operation that quite likely would not have been there if it hadn't been for the fact that they would have given them some incentive. These plants, presumably, if we go by any of our salmon operations, there are plants, Bill Bushman, a plant in Petersburg, was constructed about 1889, and it's still in operation, so they have a relatively long lifespan. I don't know what the tax benefits would be over the life of a $90 million plant, but if we only got out of this tax credit bill one plant that moved on shore instead of going offshore, the benefits to the state down the line will be pay this amount of money back tenfold or far more, not to mention the benefits, which are there's other things that benefit the state other than directly taxes, but jobs onshore, tax base. In the bottom fish industry, we're talking about hopefully breaking the cycle of the salmon runs where they're open a couple of months a year around, stable economy and this type of thing. To say that, by the way, Pacific Seafood Processors has not taken an official position on this particular legislation. In talking with processors, I would imagine that there might be some that would not be all that enthusiastic about this legislation, to be very frank with you, because that they might feel that they have no current plans for expansion, would be paying substantial taxes, therefore would not be able to take the credits, and they might possibly see a competitor that would come in competition to them, and maybe they wouldn't like to see that. This is all hypothetical. I can't say that anyone specifically feels that way, but I suspect there might be some feelings in the industry along those lines. But you're not here to see what's the benefit for the XYZ company over the ABC company. The legislature's here to see what's the benefit to the industry in the long term. And the only thing I can tell you is that the past credit has been, in my opinion, a success. And I would presume that there would be some benefit to the state if it were extended. It might have a short-term detriment to some companies, as individual companies, but I don't see that that is something that you're necessarily particularly concerned with. I would have to certainly say, and I guess admit, because we never, ever said or even implied that all of this money, credit, was going to go into new development that would not take place if there wasn't tax credit. that was never said by me or to my knowledge anyone else in the industry. We always said that there would be a percentage of that money that would be a windfall to someone who would make the investment and would literally either stick it in their pocket or pay their fishermen more money. I don't know. But in any case, they would not necessarily receive a benefit. But again, going back to the premise of the legislature at the time, they were not trying to take away from or benefit any individual processor. They were trying to do something that would attract more of this offshore product or underutilized species and bring it onshore. Now, currently, my figures are going to be rough, but the offshore component of the fleet outside of 3 miles processes about 80% of that product, and about 20% is coming onshore. The projections with the number of offshore floaters that are coming online and the number of onshore processors, the percentage in 1990 could get close to 10%. We are losing ground instead of gaining ground as far as percentage because of the vast number of processors who have the capability of catching and processing at sea and with the Olympic system, meaning gun goes off, everybody goes fishing, if that's allowed, they have the capability of taking so much fish that there would be very little left for the shore-based processors who would grind away day after day after day. So we're confronted with a problem right now that, by the way, we didn't have when this legislation originally passed, which is this inshore-offshore issue, which is something that the legislature has addressed by resolution, but it's not within your power to directly control. It's a federal issue. It will have to either be handled by the North Pacific Fishery Management Council or through legislation and amendment to the Magnuson 200-mile bill. But this is a grave concern to the state of Alaska because we potentially have a situation where before 1976, when we passed the 200-mile limit bill, at that time all of these resources were being caught and processed by foreign nations. Alaska was receiving almost nothing from it. We had great visions that we were going to have great benefits from this. I don't know what we thought was going to happen, but I think we thought that we were going to have all kinds of plants all over the state and we were going to process this and it was going to be a great boon to us. But it didn't work out that way. And unfortunately, the factory trawler fleet operating offshore is taking more and more and more of this resource. If it had not been for this legislation, there would have been fewer plants onshore. And I think to that extent it has helped. As to the amendments, I think that the municipal league amendments, I don't know if they have any great downside to the state. I can certainly see occasions where they might be a benefit. As Mayor Few said, there have been situations where the processors have worked out arrangements with the municipalities, made the investments, and gotten some type of a credit made some kind of arrangements. Not all people can do that. I think that the money for the additional share would come out of either the processors or a combination of the processors and the municipalities. I don't see a downside to the state. We have a unique problem that all of this, not all, the substantial amounts of this investment, just happens to be where the fish come from, are in one area of the state. Big area, but one area of the state. And it's difficult for the legislature to appropriate the capital funds necessary for these type of utility projects, water, sewer, electricity, and so forth. It might be of help. I don't think it's... The other thing that amendment number two is that all of us that work with the legislation, Senator Zaroff, Representative Cato, their staffs, myself, and the fishermen, lobbyists that worked on this legislation felt that we had a window where both the credit and the expenditures could be made in a three-year window, no matter when you started, as long as it was cut off at a certain date. The interpretation that the Department of Revenue has has taken is different than that. And we feel that they have taken a very narrow interpretation of this bill. As Mr. Kettle has said, that the Department of Revenue opposed this legislation in its inception. They testified against it in almost all cases, although I think finally they became neutral, which was almost as deadly. And if you have worked with a government agency who you passed legislation which they were opposed to, if this has ever happened to you, you will find that they are less than a reluctant bride when you are discussing issues with them. And
less than a reluctant bride, that's the real problem.
So we have interpreted this differently than they have, and they of course have the final say. I think this amendment number 2 is aimed at putting into law what we thought we were doing when the legislation passed. No more, no less. I'm not addressing amendment number 1 on this. I guess I would support it because I'm only supporting what I originally supported, or I thought I was supporting at the time. And as to Madam Chairman, as to Senator Eliason's comments regarding the fishermen paying for it, I can assure you that the processors will pass along as much as we possibly can to the fishermen. Unfortunately, we're not always able to pass all of it along to them. It's a world market, and
I don't see why not.
But right, the fishermen and the processors, as far as this is concerned, are in it together, and there's only so many pieces in the pot. I think I covered the
ground. Thank you, Mr. Lauber. Senator Sturdzielewski and Senator Halford.
Probably, maybe a comment from Mr. Lauber. But one of the things, in some ways, we're in worse shape now than we were when we passed this in terms of how the industry's developed and the fact that there is so much offshore.
We're in worse shape than we hoped we would be, but we didn't see this eventuality coming to be.
But I guess one of the things that you really didn't touch on very, very much, but there's a timing on this, and Unalaska, for example, has gone great guns, and St. Paul's awfully close. But we've got all of those smaller communities of Sandpoint, King Cove, Accutan, et cetera, who are really behind for a whole lot of reasons, the power curve. I think the potential is still there for those smaller communities to really benefit from the program, whereas the larger communities may be pretty well set. Do you agree with that?
Well, I agree to this extent. I think there are a number of areas of the state that have not benefited as they had hoped, but for various reasons, infrastructure, the ports, what's there, and so forth, you would think there were just a tremendous number of available areas for people to go into, but really there are very few. And in many cases, the reason that the companies haven't made a decision to go into those areas is because the fish aren't there. As you know, and particularly in the pollock area, the Gulf of Alaska pollock has been on the decline. There aren't a tremendous amount of pollock there, and so therefore these communities, or these companies, have not made decisions to improve some of these plants the way that we had all hoped they would. If the resource comes back, hopefully they would do that. But if we have this great number of factory trawlers out there sucking up all this resource, by the way, the one thing I want to make clear, that there's a distinction made between, when we talk about floaters, is the distinction made between the factory trawler fleet that operates outside of 3 miles primarily and the inshore floating processors that primarily operate off of salmon and to some extent crab, but primarily off of salmon. And they're not the same animal at all. It's the factory trawler fleet catches and processes, where the inshore processing fleet do not catch fish, they only process fish caught by inshore fishermen and delivered to
them. I'm sorry, we have a committee coming in at 3:30. are there some fast questions that you'd like to get from?
I've got one that I'd like to have us research, just so we know what it does fiscal note-wise. And the fiscal note we've got is last year's fiscal note, as I understand it. And it
yeah, we'll have to have a bill.
So we'll have to have an extensive change in the fiscal note. But I'd like to know what the difference is if we extend this with retroactive provisions and allow conversions of investments that were made under a three-year window to be spread over a five-year window, versus if we simply start January 1st, 1990 with a program that lays out its rules and says investments after January 1st have a five-year window and go forward. I think there may be a significant difference there. I don't know, and I'd like to know what it is.
Madam Chair, on that, could we have a comparable program to the program that has and figures comparable, which was only a three-year rather than a five-year, wasn't it, the earlier one?
The original one was a three-year.
Well, if we could have a fiscal note that would be on a comparable program, but just starting as though it were a new a new program for 3 years.
Yeah, I support tax credits as long as they're targeted and they're limited duration and they as much as you possibly can, force action that wouldn't be taken otherwise. And of course you're not going to get 100% or even 75%. But they work better if they're short-term and they're targeted. Everybody knows they're going to die, so they make their investments in that time frame. And if you come back with another one, you shouldn't promise them in advance, because then they won't make the investment before the last.
Well, I think unless the Norfolk Pacific Management Council makes some substantial changes in the way that fishery is conducted in the Gulf of Alaska and Bering Sea, we're going to be 5%, maybe 0% someday. And I'm not very optimistic about what's going on out there. It scares hell out of me. I think we've lost control.
Are you lobbying me?
I know you're doing your best.
Yes,
I'm
on. We're talking the same wavelength.
It scared me.
I hope we got enough folks to do it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lauber. It's my intention to have the sponsor come back with a committee substitute. Is there anyone who would like to work with him on that?
Can you talk about incorporating the amendments?
Yes, indeed. I don't know what your feeling is. I'd like to have.
I think it needs to be. The amendments aren't as much as the question that I intended to raise that Senator Helfer did about what the impact is on the earlier.
Those of you who have problems, would you please have members of your staff work with my staff and Senator Lysen's staff come up with, Senator Zaroff, come up with something they think will work and they'll pass this committee.
Yes. What you need to do is take a look at the new